He'll scramble. He's at the 35, but he's ankle tackled there at the 36. And he's hurt. Mahomes is hurt.
I kind of rolled it a little bit. It didn't feel good, but I was going to leave it all out there.
They're going to throw a quick pass to Tony. He's got it on the edge. Touchdown!
I told y'all at the beginning of the week, there's nothing that's going to keep me off that football field.
Don't underestimate how tough Patrick Mahomes is.
Everything we work for is for this moment. You have to enjoy this moment. You can't let the moment overtake you.
The Chiefs Kingdom will raise a banner above the National Football League again.
There's a lot for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs to celebrate, and today they're doing just that with their fans as they've made their way home for the victory parade. We'll show you the best of that in just a moment. You know we love a good parade here, okay? You see Marcus Spears, Keyshawn Johnson, Adam Schefter here with you for the hour. Let's roll, guys. We start with the parade, okay? It kicked off at noon today. Enormous crowds expected. Look at Andy Reid leading the charge there, and Patrick Mahomes going down Grand Boulevard in Kansas City. You knew that Travis Kelce was going to enjoy this one. And let's hear from some of these guys as they celebrate with their fans finally at home in Kansas City.
Not very often are you able to say you're the greatest team in the world and have the greatest players in the world and have the greatest organization in the world and most of all, the greatest fans in the world. We love you, man.
AFC West said we were rebuilding. I'm be honest with you, I don't know what rebuilding means. In our rebuilding year, we're world champs. We're world champs. I just want to let y'all know that this is just the beginning. We ain't done yet. So I'll make sure to hit y'all back next year, and I hope the crowd's the same. Appreciate y'all. Let's go, baby.
Let me take you back to 2022 in the month of maybe April. Maybe. Guys were getting signed left and right. The haters were saying that the Chiefs would never make the playoffs. The haters were saying the Chiefs were done. If y'all knew that Patrick Mahomes was gonna win the MVP, let me get a hell yeah!
It's one thing we gotta do, baby. It's one thing we gotta do for our right to fight, okay? Run it back, run it back. Run this back! Run this back! Travis! Hey, and Trail, end this thing how we supposed to. You gotta fight for your right to fight!
You know what? I am gonna vote that next season, whoever wins the Super Bowl, we take NFL Live to the parade. Like, Marcus, should we do that? I think we should.
We absolutely should. And I love the fact that Pat Mahomes was a little tipsy when he was making this speech. I'm with it.
Allegedly.
Ain't nothing wrong with allegedly. A little beer, a little yak. Allegedly. You know what I'm saying? I could tell by the slur of the words, though, Keith, that my man was lit up about that parade, bro.
You know, they fought for their right to party, and they can be on that yak.
Let's talk
a little bit more about the Chiefs. Guys, they rode their dominant offense to the Super Bowl victory this season. Obviously, the doubters fueled them, too, as you heard there. Kansas City's offense led the league in points per game, yards per game, offensive efficiency in total QBR, and in pass block win rate. They actually became the first team since the 2009 Saints to lead the league in scoring during the regular season and win the Super Bowl. Marcus, when you think about everything that they did, what has impressed you most about the Chiefs' run this season?
The ability to change who you are from an offensive standpoint and still be able to get it done. Now, I know a lot of that is obviously attributed to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes being one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in this league. And Veach, the general manager, still kind of keeping the core of these guys together, the same philosophy, and hitting on a lot of those rookie draft picks. But it was just, they became a more efficient offense, but were better. They didn't have the big play Tyreek Hill. They used a lot of dink and dunk at times. They figured out ways to still be pretty prolific as an offense without having that one player that changes games and flips the field. And obviously, Travis Kelce is still there on his way to a gold jacket. I just loved how they had to change their stripes a little bit offensively, made moves during the season, like to get Kadarius Toney, who was big for them in the Super Bowl. They have a formula. They understand it. And 15 is the straw that stirs the drink. And I'm feeling like now that the Kansas City Chiefs think that we can put some guys out here that may not be $100 million wide receivers, and we can still get it done. And you know why? Because they just did it.
Yep.
I think when you look at this team overall, though, and we focus on the offensive side of the ball, because the glaring miss on that team was Tyreek Hill. But much like Swaggle just said, they figured out how to get it done. And I don't want to call them pedestrian guys, although Juju's been in the news lately with his back and forward with the guys from Philadelphia. Travis Kelce is key in the passing game in this offense. And then it goes from there with everybody else. If they can somehow figure out, okay, if we lose Juju in free agency and we lose Mecole Hardman in free agency, there are going to be some guys, and Adam knows this, that will come on the market between today in the summer before they go to training camp that they could acquire. And one thing about it is Andy Reid, and I think a lot of people miss this, Andy Reid's tenure, Adam, in Philadelphia, as well as in Kansas City, he's only had two dominant wide receivers, right? One in T.O. for 1 year, and then obviously Tyreek Hill. Outside of that, he's been playing with just guys, and he's been able to get it done.
Well, Keith, that's what happens when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, the story that stirs the drink, as Marcus says. And basically, you're going to be in a situation here where free agents that don't get contracts will want to go to Kansas City. They'll want to play with Patrick Mahomes because that'll be the quickest way to boost their value in 2023. And this is a team over the last 4 years that's remade itself a few different times. It rebuilt the offensive line after they lost the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay. This year, it added a whole new secondary. It remade the wide receiver unit without Tyreek Hill. Went out and added Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Added Juju Smith-Schuster. It drafted Sky Moore. So it has continued to remake itself, and it will continue to be able to remake itself because it has the quarterback. So when you have the quarterback, you can do a lot of different things, and no matter how you slice it up, no matter where you add and where you subtract, usually it's going to come out ahead, and he's going to make it all look good because he's the best player in football, and he can cover up a lot of inefficiencies.
Yeah, you know, it helps, too, even though Patrick Mahomes certainly got paid, he did do it to where it would benefit the team long-term, and the Chiefs do have some big decisions to make this offseason regarding some key free agents. Both their starting offensive tackles, Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley, are set to hit free agency, along with some key weapons in Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, and Jerick McKinnon. So, Marcus, let's start with you here. Which of those guys should be the top priority for Kansas City to bring back?
Listen, I think these tackles, right? Like, when we talk about Patrick Mahomes, the premium is to make sure that you got him protected. That's one of the things we came away, not only this Super Bowl, but the season, that these guys did a phenomenal job. We talked so much about the high ankle sprain and his immobility, and we lauded him for being tough and powering through. But the reality is they kept Patrick Mahomes clean against Cincinnati after the ankle injury. They were able to run the football. We talked about Pacheco. We kind of lost sight of this offensive line and how well they played all season long. These two tackles, Wiley and obviously Orlando Brown Jr., need to be premium grade A number one. One, because of rapport. You want to keep this unit together. You want to make sure these guys understand how each other plays. And those guys value the fact that 15 is standing behind him, and they've already shown you that they can protect him even when he's limited physically.
Certainly the offensive line, no question about it. But then you also got to look at the depth on the defensive line. And when you move from the defensive line, the wide receiver position, when you're missing two guys that are guys that are fill-in guys in Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman that may hit the free agent market, as I said before, they're going to be casualty guys that have played in this league that will be available that can still play in the league, but they've got to be able to understand that you may not get the big money that you thought you were going to get on the free agent market, but you certainly will be in line to do something that you may have not done, which is have an opportunity to play in an AFC Championship game, win a Super Bowl. And one of the guys that they should be also targeting, they should be taking a look at Keenan Allen. DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Those guys could potentially all be available via trade or because they hit the free agent market.
And again, they'll be in the pattern. They'll be in the habit of waiting and kicking back and seeing who doesn't find a home, who didn't get the value in the contract that they wanted, and they could cherry pick from that point on. But I know you mentioned Patrick Mahomes' contract, and I know it's a long-standing contract, but I will say this. At some point, whether it's this offseason, next offseason, the next offseason, that's going to become an issue because we're going to see all these new quarterback deals go out this offseason. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. And once these other quarterback deals start rolling in, we're going to see Patrick Mahomes undervalued. And I don't know when they're going to revisit that, but at some point in time, he's not going to play the life of that contract before that contract is going to have to be addressed again.
Yeah, that was a really good point, Adam. I know. We were thinking about that even yesterday when Field was talking about Jalen Hurts' contract being in that $40 million a year range. We're like, golly, you got to think about Patrick Mahomes certainly in the mix there. Let's get to the Eagles side of things, guys, as we talk about the future for the two teams in the Super Bowl. We saw Philadelphia lose both its offensive and defensive coordinators yesterday to head coaching jobs after losing in the Super Bowl. But it's not just the coaches they may have to replace. Philly has some key free agents, too. Bunch of starters set to hit free agency. On offense, some key players such as Jason Kelce and Miles Sanders. On defense, it's more than half their starters with players like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, James Bradbury. They also have to plan for the future, as we were just talking about with Jalen Hurts, set to enter the final year of his rookie contract in 2023. Jalen said just yesterday or day before, whenever it was, yeah, I don't want to talk about my contract right now. And then Marcus smartly pointed out that he just wants to talk about his contract, but he's just not going to admit it. Yeah. So, Adam.
said he wasn't thinking about it. Please.
Yeah, exactly. No, you are thinking about it. All right. Adam, when do the Eagles expect to start working toward that long-term deal with Jalen Hurts?
It would be an upset if that deal did not get done this offseason. And the advantage that the Eagles have enjoyed having Jalen Hurts under a rookie contract, minimum wage rookie contract, is going to go away. And so all those free agents that you see out there are going to be more difficult to afford once Jalen Hurts gets north of $45 million. To me, that's the starting point. And it may not even be close to the ultimate figure of where it ultimately comes in. He's proven himself as a top five quarterback in this league. He was just a few plays away from taking this team to its second world title. He's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid royally this offseason, along with the other quarterbacks who are due for a deal. Listen, he betted himself. He played well. He's proven exactly what he's worth. And now Philadelphia had the window to go out and add some of these pricey free agents to go supplement the roster while Hurts was on that rookie contract. When Jalen Hurts takes the field in 2023, he will not be on that rookie contract anymore. Whether they do that deal before the start of the new league year, right after the draft, before training camp, whatever, that deal is going to get done at some point this offseason because Jalen Hurts cannot afford to take another snap under the last year of his rookie deal.
Look, one of the things that they got to do, and Adam is right, he cannot afford and he will not afford. There's four people that's involved in here that are extremely smart in this situation: his dad, his agent, Jalen Hurts, and the Philadelphia Eagles. If you think about it, and Adam knows this, you think about the history of the Philadelphia Eagles and their quarterbacks, they always take care of their quarterbacks and get them paid at the market rate. Now, what's his market rate? Is it $45-plus million? It probably is, and he'll get it done. He's smart enough to know that he's not going to drag this out. The Philadelphia Eagles organization is smart enough to know they can't drag it out because they have other people that they have to sign. They're going to get this thing done.
Yeah, Nicole Lynn, his agent, by the way. It's going to be fun to see her in the middle of these negotiations.
You played too early, Marcus. You were born too early.
He could have been a great quarterback, too. Swagoo, aside from me.
$45 million. God.
That's a starting point, though.
Right. Marcus, aside from a potential Hurts deal, what do you see as the most important free agent that Philadelphia needs to bring back?
Yeah, Javon Hargrave. On the defensive side of the football, you have to have a premium pass rusher, I think, on the interior to try to be a championship team. We see Kansas City. It's no coincidence that Chris Jones is on that team. You look at Aaron Donald from Los Angeles Rams. Hargrave is the rusher in the interior of this pocket that consistently win one-on-ones and can change games. I think when you look at Philadelphia's team, now we're to a point, because of what Shefty and Key just talked about with Jalen Hurts, you have to think about not only these guys' value as individuals, but value as championship pieces. And I think he's a championship piece because of the position that he plays and his effectiveness at getting after the quarterback. There's a difference in letting a really good player walk and a championship piece walk. And I think defensive tackles now are starting to become championship pieces.
Yeah, you can't hold on to all of them, but that's a good point. Now, I do want to say, too, about James Bradbury, who's another notable free agent for the Eagles. People might be talking about him after the holding call in the Super Bowl. Don't forget that he allowed the lowest passer rating in coverage in the NFL this season. They're not going to forget
that.
He's so good. All right. We
good,
got a lot more coming your way. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. Guys, the future of the Cowboys backfield duo is up in the air, but a Dallas legend says keep them. Will offseason moves split up the two stars? Marcus knows which one they should keep. Plus, Todd McShay released his mock draft 2.0, predicting where the biggest players in college football will land. Hear what name we were surprised to see left out of the top 10.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, more football's coming your way. The XFL season kicks off Saturday. Coverage of the Vegas Vipers and Arlington Renegades begins at 3 Eastern on ABC. There's three more games over the weekend, too, on ESPN and FX. With every game available on ESPN Plus, don't miss the new XFL. All right, time now to read and react. Let's get to some news, starting in Arizona, where Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon ran into his new quarterback for the first time yesterday.
He's in there?
Just talking to him. Now that's a done deal.
Hey, let's go.
All right, that looked good, Adam. Why was Jonathan Gannon the guy Arizona wanted as their next head coach?
Listen, I think he had a relationship with the general manager, Monty Ossenfort. They recognized him as a young, bright mind, wanted to bring him in to revive that organization. I think he's somebody that they waited for. They said they were waiting for the Super Bowl festivities to finish up, and that may have been true, but I think they were also waiting for Jonathan Gannon to come free. He came free Sunday night, and lo and behold, they gave him a 5-year contract on Monday.
It was good to see Kyler walking around in that video. All right, to Minnesota, where the Vikings introduced Brian Flores as their new defensive coordinator earlier today. Key, what do you think about Flores taking over the defense in Minnesota?
Home run hire for Minnesota and what they're capable of doing on the defensive side of the ball. That division is not as strong as most people think. Will Aaron Rodgers be in the division? Will Justin Fields emerge? We know what the Detroit Lions are doing with Jared Goff, but the defensive side of the ball is what kept Minnesota from being a real dominant football team. They got offense. We've seen Brian Flores in New England. We've seen him in Miami with those defenses. They added something here on a home run shot.
On to Dallas, where Hall of Fame running back Emmitt Smith spoke about what his former team should do with their current backfield. He said, quote, I'm keeping both. I may franchise tag Tony Pollard. I may go for a contract restructure with Zeke, but I'm keeping both. And the reason why is because They've got to get Pollard back and healthy, and we need Zeke. Marcus, do you agree that the Cowboys should bring both running backs back?
I know they should bring Tony Pollard back, and I know the injury is a concern, but I'm not concerned about it. I think he'll come back. That burst, that explosion, we saw that offense take jumps with Tony Pollard with the ball in his hand. Zeke, if he's willing to take a pay cut or a restructure and they want to keep him to be that physical red area back, keep him in protection, I'm not mad at it. But I think Tony Pollard should be the priority in that backfield for the Dallas Cowboys. And if you franchise him, you better be careful, because it's going to be some other teams looking for those type of services and that type of playmaker on the open market. Remember, he is not just your normal prototypical running back. He makes plays all over the football field.
And we saw that in their offense. This is something that I want to get everyone's opinion on. This season, the Cowboys' offense far more effective with Tony Pollard on the field compared to Ezekiel Elliott. Dallas's offense averaged over a yard more per play with Pollard on the field, and it didn't matter if it was a rushing or passing situation, as it was still over a yard more regardless of the play designation. To Marcus's point with the versatility, it's worth remembering that Pollard is an unrestricted free agent this offseason. Ezekiel Elliott has no more guaranteed money left on his contract. Adam, what more can you tell us about the Cowboys running back situation?
Well, listen to this. I think it's a situation where everybody saw that the offense seemed to be more explosive with Tony Pollard playing back there. But I don't know that Tony Pollard is the type of back to carry the football and touch it 22, 25 times a game. What's going to happen here is that at the combine, Zeke Elliott's agents have to figure out his value to other teams in what looks like a deep free agent running back class at a time where other teams are not really willing to pay top dollar for running backs. And if he determines that there's not some big money out there with another team, then the best and simplest thing would be to keep Zeke in Dallas on a restructured deal. It would be valuable to the Cowboys. It would be valuable to Zeke Elliott. I think there's incentive for both sides to figure it out. Now, there's a process that they have to go through before they can get there. It's not like Zeke is going to say automatically, I'm back in Dallas. If there's a team out there that's willing to pay him big money, then yeah, you'll go refuse to restructure your contract. You'll be released. You'll sign on somewhere else. But what are the chances that somebody's going to want to pay Zeke what he's been making recently? Probably not very high. And so that leads us back to a situation where I think he and the Cowboys might be most valuable for each other.
Yeah, the Cowboys, Adam, as you know, they tend to like to renegotiate players' contracts that they like, that they want to keep around and help their football team win. So I can see where they would go to Zeke Elliott and tell him, hey, let's figure out how to restructure this thing so we can bring you back and you can continue to be part of the family. As long as he recognized that he is not the same running back as he was when they paid him. Paying Tony Pollard is a must. He'll be back healthy. But a 1-2 punch is always what you need in the National Football League. Yep. Many running backs that are Zeke types, the frontline guys, when they get released from teams, they typically don't go on to get big money. That's the main reason a team is getting rid of them, because they have no value there for the open market. And so when they allow him to go test the open market, whether he's still on the team, and they tell his agents, go get a feel around, they'll know what the number is. They'll know and be able to make a strategic move at that point in time.
Key, you make a great point with types of backs, and that's why I was so adamant about pointing out what Tony Pollard offers you just beyond getting handoffs out of the backfield. And you're right, like that 1-2 punch and Shefty as well, like trying to carry the load. I think he could, but it's not smart. But let me go to where I wanted to go. The Dallas Cowboys got to add a weapon on the outside. They got to put somebody opposite of CeeDee Lamb that can try to dictate coverage. I think they should be in the market with trying to figure out how they can get DeAndre Hopkins with the restructuring of some of these contracts. I know Dak and T. Higgins as well is coming up with Cincinnati, who may want to move him if they can't get anything done. But when you look across this league, how Dallas wants to play, they got to figure out who to put opposite of CeeDee Lamb so they can be in high-powered offense. Because once we saw Tony Pollard go out against the San Francisco 49ers, they tried to force feed CeeDee Lamb the football. And that said a lot to me about how they feel about the rest of the guys when they are in those type of situations. So I'd be interested to see what type of move they try to make to get a receiver opposite of CeeDee.
Yeah, that's going to be something to watch either way. And it felt like, especially with the additions the Eagles made in that division in the NFC East, there's even more pressure on the Cowboys to do something heading into next season. A lot more coming your way here on NFL Live Guidance. Next, Todd McShay joins us to talk his newly released mock draft. It sounds like some teams have big decisions to make.
Do you stay put? Do you trade up?
The Alabama guy doesn't look bad, I tell you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So glad you're with us on NFL Live today. And Todd McShay's Mock Draft 2.0 hits ESPN Plus today. He joins us now to give us the latest insight. So, Todd, so glad you're with us. We get a lot more Todd here over the next couple months. Let's start with the top four picks. And it looks like you have a trade at number one, which I love.
I finally talked Kuiper into it about 3 or 4 years ago, and here we are. So I've got Indianapolis moving up to number one, taking quarterback Bryce Young from Alabama. And listen, Houston could take him. You got Seattle sitting in there at 5, Las Vegas at 7, Carolina at 9. I think there's going to be a big market for that number one overall pick. Bryce Young, to me, even though he's only about 195 pounds, he's got that Patrick Mahomes magic to him and poise like very few other quarterbacks I've ever evaluated. Then number two, Houston Texans, new head coach, just like Indianapolis, same division, new quarterback. I think C.J. Stroud from Ohio State makes a lot of sense here. And Will Levis from Kentucky would be a possibility, but C.J. Stroud to me, just watching him and studying the ability to go through his progressions from left to right, and make throws on all three levels, I think he has a chance to be a really good starter at the next level. Then we get into defensive stars. Probably the best two players in this class are defensive players, and it starts with Will Anderson, the edge rusher from Alabama. 130 pressures over the last 2 years, 54 tackles for loss over the last 2 years. His production went down a little bit this past year, but it's because everyone was so focused on him. He is a special edge rusher. And then finally, Jalen Carter, number four, Chicago Bears. When he was healthy at the end of the year after his lower leg injury, he was the best defensive player in the country. Dominant, took over games, and it's the fastest way to get to the quarterback. Jalen Carter is going to wind up being a top five, top seven pick in this year's class, and he's going to be a special player at the next level.
Yeah, if the quarterbacks weren't so good, you'd probably see him taking a lot higher, Todd. He's unbelievable when he's right. Here's a full look at Todd McShay's Mock Draft 2.0, which has those four quarterbacks coming off the board. In the top nine picks, you heard him talking about Young and Stroud. McShay has the Raiders selecting Will Levis at 7th overall. The Panthers taking Anthony Richardson with the 9th pick. We'll get to that in a minute. A reminder that in the common draft era, there's never been an instance of four quarterbacks coming off the board in the top nine picks, and only once has it happened within the top 10 picks. That was back in 2018, so could see some history made in this draft. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions here, Todd, but I get to go first because I'm the host, so, you know, here I go. What would it take for a team like the Colts, Todd, to entice the Bears to trade that number one pick? How much is this going to cost them?
I think it's going to cost them a lot. I think it'll be obviously the fourth pick. They have the 35th pick. I said maybe a fourth or fifth round pick this year, and then maybe a first or second round pick next year. So it's going to cost a lot, but The bottom line is, if you don't have your guy at quarterback, can you win? And so I would be willing to give it up just to make sure that I got the quarterback that I want. Kiper wants Will Levis. I like Bryce Young. You know, we'll see. But I would be willing to give it up only to go up and get the quarterback that I believe in.
Yeah, you know, we heard Ursay. He wasn't shy about that. They know they need a quarterback, and they're going to be right up there. But you got to get up high, to your point, at one. Okay, so I'm also interested in Anthony Richardson, the Florida quarterback. He's going ninth to the Panthers in your mock right now. I think he's going to be one of the most polarizing players in this draft. Some people are going to say, it has nothing to do with that, Swagoo. Some people are going to say, boom for him. Some people, Todd, are going to say, bust, right? Okay, so what is it about his game that makes him so special that maybe you see somebody move up for him, or do you see him potentially falling down for some people?
Listen, you said it. He's the most polarizing player in this entire draft. He's 6'4", 232 pounds. If you put on his best tape, he's the most exciting player in this draft. I mean, that's how talented he is. He has the arm strength to drive the ball vertically. He has mobility that you dream about now in the NFL. But he's not developed yet. He needs time. So if it's Carolina or any of these other teams that we're talking about that need a quarterback, you better have a plan and you better have a veteran in place, whether it's Sam Darnold, who showed some flashes late last season, or another guy that they bring in. But ultimately, wherever he goes, I think he's going to need at least 1 year. Hmm.
Todd, in your mock draft with all these quarterbacks, you know, there's question marks about all of them, right? Whether it's Bryce Young, who's slight, who's small, who's not that tall, whether it's it's Richardson you just talked about. You know, you start to look at some of them, whether it's C.J. Stroud, not a lot of athletic ability, not a strong arm. And then you get to Will Levis. Why is so many people, like, high on him? Because I'm not.
I got you. I'm struggling with it, too. And Kiper and I go back and forth all the time about it. He has the strongest arm of the top three quarterbacks, okay? He's mobile. He has character, intangibles, toughness. He had a terrible offensive line this year, a young wide receiving core, a running back who was suspended the first four games. So there are a lot of reasons why the production didn't match up with where he potentially will get drafted. But I also see some things, too, in his game. Does he process it as quickly as he should? Eyes dropping inside the pocket. Does he feel where pressure is coming from? And then late game turnovers and critical moments, those are concerns. I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. I talked to two GMs in a five-day span. One said, I'm worried he's going to be Carson Wentz because he plays quarterback like linebacker. The other said, he might be the next Josh Allen because he might be a better, much better NFL player than college player. So that's kind of the range when you talk to people in the NFL about him.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, Todd, I was gonna say, if Will Levis go top three, he can thank Josh Allen for getting drafted top three, seeing where he came from his rookie year to where he is now. I'm gonna ask you this, Todd. One player that I'm intrigued about, man, is Bijan Robinson, the running back out of Texas. Mm-hmm. I think he is a phenomenal player. And I know backs are not gonna be in the top 10, but I think he's a top 10 player when you talk about talent. Talk to me a little bit about Bijan and how he can impact his rookie year in this league, because we saw Breece Hall on his way to potentially being the offensive player of the year for the New York Jets this year. You think Bijan can have that type of impact?
Absolutely. He's the best running back that's come out since Saquon Barkley. And if you meet him and you get to know him a little bit, he's that kind of special person, too. He just brings a lot of energy to the locker room. And the ability to obviously create missed tackles, but then catch the football and pass protect. I think he's as complete a back as you're going to find coming out. I think he's one of the top six or seven players in this entire draft. I had him dropping to 22 to Baltimore just because teams don't want to draft a running back. But I promise you, I would have him in the top five. I actually would have him at like five or six if it was just basic, like, you know, just stuck to where the prospect ranking is.
Man, what a weapon if he ends up in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, if he's still there, and Todd Monken, their new offensive coordinator, I'm like, I want to go be OC there for the Ravens. Todd,
put it on your mop.
There we go.
Dallas need a running back. Put it on your mop.
Well, maybe Bijan Robinson's got the Texas connection. You never know. Much more from Todd at the top of the hour, guys, with his SportsCenter special, Mock Draft 2.0. Don't miss this. It's on ESPN2 at 5 Eastern, and a lot more of Todd on our show. Thank you, Todd. We love having you on NFL Live and really excited to talk about the draft on this show. Coming up next, Calvin Ridley applying for reinstatement today after being suspended indefinitely almost a year ago. Why Key has high hopes for the possible addition to Peterson's offense. Welcome back to NFL Live. Time now for some top storylines around the league with Adam Schefter. We'll start with the Commanders and their search for an offensive coordinator. What more can you tell us, Adam?
All right, Laura, Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, is basically going from the parade to Washington to interview for the Commanders offensive coordinator job. They've already interviewed Greg Roman, the former offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, but Bieniemy square in play in the mix for the Commanders job, looking for somebody on an offense that's got a lot of weapons. Some people like that position, believe it or not, and so we'll see if Eric Bieniemy or Greg Roman winds up there. Meanwhile, Thomas Brown, the Rams assistant coach, is interviewing for the Buccaneers offensive coordinator job. He's said to have a decent chance. He's the assistant head coach in Los Angeles, tight ends coach, and he could be the guy who succeeds Byron Leftwich in Tampa. We'll see what the Bucs wind up doing at quarterback, but Thomas Brown in the mix for the OC job. And earlier today, Calvin Ridley applied to the NFL for reinstatement after being suspended for one full year for being accused of betting on NFL games during 2021. I think most people believe that he'll be reinstated. He'll be back in the league. And let's remember, Jacksonville traded for him before the trade deadline. That would be one more big-time weapon for Trevor Lawrence to go along with Christian Kirk and some of the other offensive talent there in Jacksonville. If he gets reinstated, Jacksonville's offense gets that much better.
Yeah, Adam, he did so well, Trevor Lawrence did, with those new additions, those weapons that you're referring to. You mentioned Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram. They all signed with the team in free agency, set career highs in receiving yards. The Jaguars offense finished the season ranking top 10 in both points and yards. Now, as Adam said, they're expected to add Calvin Ridley to the mix, who is one of just 23 players to record over 200 receptions, 3,000 receiving yards, and 25 receiving touchdowns over the last five seasons. You see just on the video right there the reminder of how good he is. That's with him missing a full season over that span, too. So, Key, I think people might have forgotten what Calvin Ridley is as a player. What would he in this Jaguars offense do to help them continue to make big strides?
Well, first of all, he came into the league in 2018, and each year he got better. And in 2020 was his best year. He accounted for about 90 catches, about 1,400 yards, about 16 yards a catch, 9 touchdowns or so. In 2021, obviously, the suspension was costly. But he's going to bring some explosiveness to this offense that they already have. He's going to be able to stop on a dime and give some change. He's a significant route runner. He is a hands catcher and not a body snatcher. He's the type of guy that you want. He understands the route concepts. He understands how to play football at a high level. They certainly got a gem when they got Calvin Ridley. The NFL, in my opinion, didn't do the Atlanta Falcons any justice when they suspended him. And I know for a fact that he had some issues off the field, and he wanted to get away from Atlanta and get to a new place, and he found a new home in Jacksonville. Imagine that, though. You basically land in the laps of a quarterback that everybody has high praise on in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, this is a one. This gives Jacksonville a number one wide receiver. That's where his trajectory was, and that's what everybody was saying of who he was going to be in Atlanta. But this gives them a one, and I think it pushes Christian Kirk back into that slot position where he can dominate games, even though he had a really good year coming off. And he's paid as the number one wide receiver on this Jacksonville team. I would feel more comfortable with Calvin Ridley being that guy. You look at Zay Jones. Not only do you add speed, but I think you add a guy, and Key can speak to this as well as anyone, when he talked about in and out of break, stopping on a dime. You got a guy that's going to beat man coverage consistently. That's usually Absolutely. What you attach to a number one wide receiver. This is a phenomenal pickup for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who went to the playoffs and did enough to almost get back against the Kansas City Chiefs in that game.
Yeah, it's a good point. Guys, you know, the other thing I want to point out here, you think about a player like Calvin Ridley, who's been through what he's been through and been suspended by the league. He's going to an environment where Doug Peterson's wrapped his arms around these young Yes. men and these men and said, I'm going to treat you like human beings, which we saw that play out in a big way with the way they were able to bounce back this year as opposed to the previous season. So I think the environment helps him a ton. Yeah. We get a lot more coming your way here on NFL Live. The Raiders released quarterback Derek Carr yesterday. So who might we see under center for Las Vegas next season? It's not Tom Brady. He's retired. Our analysts have some ideas. That's next. Back here on NFL Live, so the news of yesterday, the Raiders officially releasing Derek Carr, making him immediately available for teams who need a quarterback. That's one piece of the equation, but the other side is the Raiders, who now need a quarterback. Who will it be? Well, they certainly have some offensive weapons to build around, and the Silver and Black currently slated to have the league's third most cap space. They currently hold the seventh overall pick in the draft. And they only have one quarterback under contract in Chase Garbers. They're in need of help on defense, too. They finished last season ranking 30th in defensive efficiency. Adam, we start with you. What is the latest on the Raiders and their plans for the upcoming offseason?
Well, the biggest question will be what this team does at quarterback. Tom Brady retired, so there went the end of the Las Vegas speculation. Now there's speculation about whether Aaron Rodgers plays. Could he wind up in Las Vegas? Don't forget Jimmy Garoppolo, who worked with Josh McDaniels in New England, is going to be an unrestricted free agent who's not returning to San Francisco. You'd have to figure that Las Vegas would be on his list of potential destinations, and they also have Jared Stidham on the roster, but quarterback is the biggest issue. And then there's the question of running back. Josh Jacobs proved he's a warrior this offseason, this past season. They want to keep him. He wants to be there. He bought a house. So I would think that they try to sign him to a long-term deal. And if they can't get a long-term deal done, then they could always use the franchise tag on him to make sure he doesn't leave Las Vegas.
Shefty, you made the point about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm going to focus on Aaron Rodgers being that domino, especially with the Jets and the Las Vegas Raiders, two teams that have been linked to him. And obviously, Devontae being in Las Vegas, everybody is excited about the notion of that potentially becoming a thing again. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a home run for Josh McDaniels because, one, you still pick high. Jimmy Garoppolo has shown you he can handle the young quarterback with grace and not getting disgruntled. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has a good understanding of who he is in this league. And he also plays really well through spurts during the season. So it's not like you'd be just chalking the season up saying you can't win games. But we saw the disconnect between Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr last year. To bring somebody in that knows Josh's system, a guy that's been on winning football teams, we've seen him play at high levels, especially with the type of talent that they have on the outside, and Waller again at tight end, Josh Jacobs in the backfield. I think Jimmy Garoppolo should be somebody Las Vegas really has their eye on, even if it's just a holdover until you can get a young quarterback groomed that can take over this franchise.
Okay. It makes all the sense in the world to look at Jimmy Garoppolo because they certainly need a quarterback. I wouldn't give up my seventh pick in the draft to go get Aaron Rodgers. That makes zero sense because this team is not going anywhere at all. They need to address the defensive side of the ball. They need to fix that in a hurry because when you look at this team, if they go get a star like an Aaron Rodgers or they go draft the guy with the seventh pick in the NFL in the draft, they got to play against the Chargers. We know what the Chargers could be. They got the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw Kansas City just win the Super Bowl. And Sean Payton is now trolling within the division. The Raiders are the last team in the division with nowhere else to go. Just take your time. Give it a year or two. And especially if you don't love the quarterbacks in this year's draft, why rush it? Why do something that makes absolutely no sense?
Yeah, you guys mentioned the system, and I want to point this out for a little bit. We were with the Raiders week 18 for the game, and One of the things Derek Carr had talked about, and then we actually heard it a little bit more from Jarrett Stidham, is that knowing that system, it's so complicated for Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
Jarrett Stidham was actually teaching Derek Carr the system throughout the season. I think that's more important in this than people even realize. But Swagoo, I wanted to hit you on something as we go off the air here. When you think about the division specifically that Key just mentioned, what should be a defensive priority for them, knowing some of those quarterbacks they're going to have to contend with?
Well, they got a phenomenal defender up front in Max Crosby, right, one of the best pass rushers in the league. I think cornerback needs to be a focus and continue to reinforce this secondary for the Las Vegas Raiders, because not only did Key mention the teams in this division, you got to defend Justin Herbert, who throws the ball like it's coming out of a rocket. Obviously, we know what Patrick Mahomes is, and now Russell Wilson has Sean Payton. You better be able to defend people on the back end, or you're going to lose anyway. You have to score 90 points to try to win a game if you're the Vegas Raiders.
Good luck with that. All right, we'll be back with you once again on NFL Live tomorrow. Tune over to ESPN2 for Todd McShay's mock draft special, the Mock Draft 2.0. Enjoy that. Field Yates hosting it. And we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.